Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Joe Dubin, Big Joe on the go from Main Street in Nashville. Joe, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Yeah, that sounds good saying that. Main Street, Nashville. Love it, man. Good morning, boys.
Well, Joe, we appreciate you taking time to join us. And as you know, you're a very good friend here on our show, but we've not been able to have you on all that much given the fact that you were usually working during our hours. Tell us about
your new
venture at Main Street Nashville and just how excited you are to get things rolling here with Main Street Nashville.
Well, I mean, I really am. And, you know, I had a great time at Channel 4 there 6 years, and I'll get into it later on. I'll write about it. But the last 4 to 5 months at Channel 4, I had a battle going on with management about what I was doing in the morning, and certain bosses weren't a fan of it. And so anyway, I've been writing for Main Street for about 2 years, and one thing led to another. We started talking, and, you know, he had no idea my contract was coming up on June 30th. And so one thing led to another, and I said, hey, I'm going to leave Channel 4. I like what you're doing here at Main Street. You got 14 papers around town. I mean, you're covering all these communities. I'm a hyper-local guy. You guys are hyper-local. And so next thing you know, I left Channel 4 and joined them. We're going to be launching a big video platform. I'll be, you know, a big part of that. Plus, get to do my writing. And it's just a really good fit because I think that we've been told, and Joe could talk to this too, that we've been told the, you know, print is dead. Well, print is dead by a certain way that a certain paper in town is doing print. That's dead. But the printed, the word has never been as strong. It's strong now, and I said this, as it was 2,000 years ago. There's just a different business model that's actually working, and people are reading stuff, and it's covering your newspapers, it's covering your hometowns, and I'm really excited about it. We've had a lot of good words and kind messages people have sent me, so I'm looking forward to it. We're having a lot of fun. We're going to roll out a bunch of stuff here in the next couple of weeks, and I couldn't be more excited.
Well, we're excited for you, Joe, and I know it's going to be great. I do want to ask you, you know, you mentioned print. What about TV? You know, local TV sports. Obviously, this industry from every aspect has been changing a lot, but where do you see that going?
I see it going where it's not going to be good. And I'll tell you why, Joe, because, you know, when I started at Channel 4 in 2015, I'd have 4 minutes at 10 o'clock, and then it became 3 minutes, then it became 2 minutes, then it became... oh, weather went long. We've got to cut you. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? I mean, I'm stealing money from the company. You come on for 45 seconds. So I saw where it was going. The one that really got me going, though, was I was really proud of our high school football show on Friday night with myself and Chris Harris and Justin Beasley. I thought we did a really good job. We had 2 segments, 8 minutes total. And they came to me in late October of 2018 and said, hey, you know, you're really, the football show, it's really in the last part of the show. It's really, it's not helping us out at all. You know, we're going to cut you back to 1 segment. And I was like, well, every newscast drops off when you do this. Every newscast drops off at 10 o'clock because people watch weather and they go, if you'll stick around, that's more than great. You'll watch the high school football. So I said, what are you going to replace our 4 minutes with? Because, you know, we're doing high school football. We're covering like 8 or 9 games. We got interviews with coaches. And they said, well, we're just going to cover it with some, you know, more local content. And I swear to God, the first Friday night after they cut us, they did a 2-minute story about a turtle that got lost in a school.
Jeez.
And the kids went on the scavenger hunt to find this turtle. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching this. I saw it in the rundown, but until you see it on TV, it doesn't really hit you. And I'm thinking, they cut out this local content with these football games to show this damn turtle lost in a school and his kids trying, and wasn't even in Tennessee. It was somewhere up north. And I went, I said, what are we doing here? What's going on? Like, well, you know, it's local and people would laugh about it. I mean, it's not local, but people would laugh about it. People talk. I'm like, yeah, they're talking, but it's not good. And I knew then, guys, it was like, all right, here we go. And then little by little, kept cutting it out. And then pretty soon it was just, you're not getting anything. You're not getting any time. You're fighting for your time in there. And that's why I went to the morning show. I felt like we weren't doing enough in the community, not sports-wise, but community-wise, helping nonprofits, small businesses out. So that was my turn to get to do that because I see where it's going. You know, somebody was having a discussion about if Major League Baseball comes here, you know, how are you going to cover it? I was like, well, you cover like you always do, but I'm not sitting around to 10:25 at night to watch three highlights for the national baseball team. I turn my phone on and get that at, when it happens at 8 or 9 o'clock because we're all on our phones. So this was a good move for me. You know, I like, again, going out and being more hyper-local, getting your neighborhood stuff and seeing things and talking to kids. And not just sports, but community-wise, because we're all in this together. So when you see you're covering Springfield and Fairview and Hendersonville and Gallatin and Mount Juliet and Lebanon and all that goes together, I just think this was a great fit for me and what they're doing over at Main Street Media.
Well, Joe, as Joe Rexroth said, we're very excited for you and happy that we get to have you on our show selfishly a little bit more often now. Joe Dubin from Main Street Nashville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Joe, I do want to get your thoughts on the retirement of Pecorine. Obviously, probably the most popular Nashville Predator in history, such a great person to deal with as well. And I know you've dealt with Pekka several times in that Predators locker room. What were your impressions of your interactions with Pecorine and his retirement from the Nashville Predators and the National Hockey League?
I said it 1,000 times. He's the nicest professional athlete, the most genuine professional athlete I've ever been around, because he stands there, and even though, and I'll never forget Stanley Cup in Pittsburgh, I think it was game two, he was terrible, and he even admits he was terrible, stood in that locker room and took every single question, even questions that were repeated three or four times. You know, y'all would ask something, I'd ask the same thing again. He didn't fluster him. He answered every question. But, you know, I was talking to the guy yesterday. It's what he's done with the Vanderbilt Children's Hospital, raised countless millions to help kids. But then to go visit the kids, he doesn't have to do that. And then the animal shelter, he helped, you know, raise awareness for that. And then best buddies. I mean, for all that he's done here, I mean, this guy is fantastic. And I always thought that Jordan Tutu would be the most popular Nashville Predator of all time. And for those who've moved in the last 4 or 5 years, Google him, look him up, and see. He was a special guy because he was the blue-collar guy. But Pekka took that over. Pekka is now the most popular Nashville Predator guy just because the guy is so genuine. He's an amazing athlete, and I hate to see him go, but I'm so glad that we had a chance to have him here in Nashville while he was a professional hockey player, because he's simply one of a kind, and they need, and I've said this, and this is not kidding, they need to build a statue of him outside Bridgestone, like tomorrow. Put a statue of Pecorine. He absolutely deserves it.
Okay, how about most disrespected athlete? We've been talking about this today, Joe, for one thing, because, you know, Ryan Tannehill's constantly in that discussion. Mike Greenberg went off about it. But Tannehill, someone else, who comes to mind when we talk about a Nashville athlete who is disrespected, doesn't get the respect he or she deserves?
Oh, I think it's Derek Mason. I mean, you look at his stats in the NFL, what he did. I know he went and played for the Ravens for 05 to 10, but from 97 to 04, that guy was amazing here in town. You know, it gets talked about none. I think Keith Bullock, and, you know, disrespect to me is a wide range of things, but I don't think Keith Bullock gets the love he deserved while he was playing here. 10 years, gave his heart and soul to this team. Those two guys stand out more than anybody that I think about when it comes to being disrespected as an athlete here, because they spent at least, you know, you got to spend 5 to 6 years in the city to really be loved like that. So I'm going to go Derek Mason, and then I'm going to go Keith Bullock. I think Keith Bullock's but I think he needs to be on the Ring of Honor at Nissan Stadium. Those are my two that come to mind.
Two very popular answers so far on our text line. Joe, obviously the Titans this year, they've made some moves. Julio Jones is now coming in as well. Should be a pretty fun Titans offense to watch. Do you consider the Titans a legitimate Super Bowl contender?
Absolutely not. Because you look at that defense, man, there's nobody that stands out in the defense. There's nobody that really scares. You look at these teams that are so good. They've got 4 or 5 great defensive players that stand out for them. I don't think anybody stands out to me. I think Bud Dupree, he's still hurt. And they can talk about how he's coming back from his injury. I think he's going to be limited for a while. I think Jeffrey Simmons is great, but that's one dude. I think Byard last year did not have a good year. You saw when Lamar Jackson just ran through the entire secondary in the playoff game. There's a lot that needs to go on there, but I think the offense could be elite, but the defense, man, they're going to have to beat teams 49-42, like when Billy Volek was quarterback back in the early 2000s when they would just throw the ball 60 times a game. But no, until a defense shows me what they can do, I'm not going to be impressed. I mean, you know, out of the gate, you got to face the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals can come in and throw that ball 50 times a game on that Sunday. So I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender at all. I think they're middle of the pack at best.
Wow. Billy Volek got a little bit of love.
Yeah, there's a lot of love for Billy Volek today, too.
A lot of Billy Volek talk today. All right, well, what about the – yeah, yeah, absolutely. So what about the – unless that maybe that was your burner texting into us. I don't know. But you got some burners. I know you got burners out there. What about the Preds? Yeah, at least four. What about the Preds, Joe? Right now, the state they're in, Pecorine retiring, but just, the expansion draft coming up, good run to get in the playoffs last year. What do you think? What do you think is the best route for them to get back to, being at the highest level of competition?
I know one game last year, and I think they had like 8 rookies in, if I remember correctly, maybe yep. 6 rookies. I think you've jettisoned some of those salaries and bring those rookies. Those rookies played well, I thought. I mean, I'm not a hockey expert by any means, but I thought those rookies played really well. I'd put them back in and just let it go. I mean, you're just a little trial and error and then go for it. I just think this team, I hate to use the window's closed. I just think it just became just kind of dull. I mean, it's just, you would watch him like, what's happening here? I thought this guy was supposed to be good. These two guys were supposed to be good. It never was, but I'd let a bunch of guys go, man, and just start a youth movement. Because I think there's some really good, watching the rookies play last year, I really like that. And I think it might have been y'all show I was listening to. In fact, I know it was. After Tampa Bay won, and somebody was talking about, you compare Tampa Bay to Nashville, and it's worlds apart. I mean, so you've got to look at who won the Stanley Cup and where your team is to that, and it's night and day. So there's a long way to go, but I think the future is kind of bright for the Nashville Predators, and we'll see what happens next year when it's a normal year, thank God.
Absolutely. Joe, we really appreciate you taking time to join us. We're really excited for your new venture at Main Street Nashville. Looking forward to having you on the show more often as we move forward here, and appreciate, again, you taking time to join us, brother.
That was the fastest 12 minutes of my life. Thank you.
Hey, there you go. That's what we're here for.
You got in the shot at that damn Yankee turtle,
That's right.
That's important, man.
All right, thanks, boys.
Thanks, appreciate you, brother. Joe Dubin from Main Street Nashville, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. One of a kind, Big Joe on the go. And you can check out his work, Main Street Nashville, pretty awesome organization that Big Joe is going to be joining. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Big Joe threw out there as well, and get into a little Titans Ring of Honor news yesterday. Could there be more additions? Joe Dubin just threw one out there that I think is worthy of consideration. We'll get to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Saturday night, you win a prize pack and a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate tomorrow morning, coming up at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Thanks to Joe Dubin from Main Street Nashville for joining us in the last segment. And we talked yesterday briefly about the Titans Ring of Honor, and obviously Bum Phillips, Jeff Fisher, and our very own Floyd Reese joined that exclusive club yesterday, the Titans announcing that Bum Phillips, Jeff Fisher, and Floyd Reese will be entering the Titans Ring of Honor. And that's an exclusive club, Joe Rexrode. I'm going through the list right now, and you've got Bud Adams, Elvin Bethea, George Blanda, Robert Brazil, Earl Campbell, Eddie George, Mike Holovac, Ken Houston, Bruce Matthews, Steve McNair, Warren Moon, Mike Munchak, Jim Norton, and Frank Wycheck, the only members currently of the Titans Ring of Honor. Now Phillips, Fisher, and Floyd Reese set to join them. Are there any notable omissions? Because Joe threw out one, and I would agree, Keith Bullock probably deserves to be in that mix. I think you can make an argument Derek Mason deserves to be in that mix as well. Are those maybe the two biggest omissions to the Titans Ring of Honor? And who on the current Titans roster do you think has a chance to be in there one day?
What about Blaine Bishop?
Blaine Bishop.
I would say,
yeah.
Bishop, Mason, Bullock.
Yep.
And, Mariota will be at the center of it someday, right?
Yeah, it's going to be Probably has his jersey retired.
Yeah, yeah. No, but seriously, I mean, Derrick Henry is – I mean, Derrick, if Derrick Henry's trending toward the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I'd say he's definitely
– he's probably going to be in there.
Got a chance to be in the Titans Ring of Honor.
Might already be in there.
Yeah, actually.
Like, if his playing career ended right now, he might be in there.
Yeah. Like, people – okay, like a Delanie Walker, not quite. Jarrell Casey, who I just mentioned, as an underrated or disrespected guy, I would say not quite.
Yep.
How about Taylor Lewan? How about Taylor Lewan? There you go. Your face of the franchise.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I think it's going to require him to probably finish his career here and maybe get a next contract. But, yeah, I think he's certainly on – he's got a chance, I would say. What lineman do they have in there?
Well, you got Munchak and Matthews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a chance.
Who are, you know, all-time great.
Matthews played for 50 years.
Yeah, Matthews, you know. One of the great linemen ever. By the way, working on a piece on him. So just so you
know. Shout out to the athletic.com.
There you go. Get ready. But defensively, you know, is a guy like a Byard. I would say the same thing as Lewan. He's been a very good player. If he plays to where he could get another contract, which, of course, in this league, it's hard.
Yeah.
The more likely outcome for guys like that is that they don't see the end of the contract. You know, that's the economics of the league. But if you're so indispensable that you get to the next one with either of those guys, then I think you have a chance. But also, okay, did they make a run this year with those guys? I mean, that's the thing. If you do something extraordinary and you're a big part of that team success, then all of a sudden you are elevated pretty significantly.
Brian Tannehill?
Well, sure.
Yeah. Go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that asks, what about Chris Johnson? Does Chris Johnson belong in the Tennessee Titans Ring of Honor? Now, obviously, had one of the best seasons that we have ever seen out of a running back. Still holds the yards from scrimmage record in the NFL for a single season. 2,006 yards of those came on the ground that year. Does Chris Johnson belong in the Titans Ring of Honor? That's a very exclusive club.
That's a very good question. I would say no. But,
I would say no.
But that one season, and it's not like that was his only good season, but that was such a spectacular season, historic season. That's the case. How does a guy have a season like that where, again, you are the talk of the NFL, you did something that a handful of people have ever done.
Yeah.
How do you do that and not get recognized for it? But I think there's got to be a longevity.
Right. He was there for 6 years. So, I mean, that's a good run for a running back. And you're talking about Eddie George, though, that was there for 10, 11 years. Like, how long is Derrick Henry going to be there? That's an interesting question. I don't know. Derrick Henry, I think he's got a chance to play at a pretty high level for the next few years. Is 6 years enough for Chris Johnson? I mean, 2,006 yards in his second year. He had 1,300 the next year. He was over 1,000 every year he was with the Titans. Now, the last couple of years, he was nowhere near the same guy. Like, he averaged 5.6 per carry in 09. By the time he was done here, it was 3.9. So, I mean, he wasn't the same guy. But he was a 1,000-yard back every year he was here, all 6 years, including 2,000 in 1 year.
So, what's his number? His total number, then?
For his entire career?
Yeah.
He's at 96-51. Now, he also played with the Jets and the Cardinals after that, too. But
bad to say if you just got to 10K, like, you know?
Maybe.
I mean,
you're 400 yards away.
That's pretty rough, but. Honestly, you go through that, and he probably has a better case than my initial reaction.
I don't know. I think there's a case. I don't know that I would for sure say Chris Johnson is in, but I think there's a case. Got another vote from Matt from Camden for Chris Johnson. Chris in Nashville saying no, that Chris Johnson does not belong in the Titans Ring of Honor.
I mean, so far it's pretty exclusive. So, I mean, I think you're talking about great careers and also long-lasting careers. Is there anybody on that list? And I'm not going to pretend to know, like, exactly how many years Robert Brazil played, but I think he had a pretty long career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anybody on that list who had a brief run that was a brief great run?
I don't think so. think they're all pretty long tenured. And remember, a lot of these guys, I mean, it's a different era. I mean, you just didn't leave. Like, there was no free agency. Right. There weren't many trades that took place. You were just with that team.
It was actually easier in some ways to be in something like this because, you weren't bouncing around every few years to a different team. In the NBA now, it's like, you know, you have your three-year career with this team and then four with this and four with this. And whose jersey do you wear in the Hall of Fame?
I mean, if the Miami Heat put together a ring of honor, like LeBron James is in it.
Right.
He was there for 4 years.
Yeah.
But he's in it.
But only because it was LeBron James and you won titles.
He was a two-time finals MVP, yes. But
Yes. You've got that ready right off the top of your head. Yeah. No, I mean, but that's an extraordinary case, though, right?
Sure.
Who's if he has to pick, whose jersey is he wearing when he goes in the Hall of Fame?
Probably Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Miami would probably be third on the list.
Yeah? You think Miami would be third after the Lakers?
Yeah. Apparently he loves the Lakers.
It's just his retirement. It's his retirement plan.
Yeah, I know. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jim texting in. What about Javon Curse in the Titans' Ring of Honor?
No.
That's interesting. I mean, he was only – he started out, he was here 5 years, and then he came back at the end of his career. So 7 years total here with the Titans.
Incredible impact as a rookie. Part of that team going to Super Bowl. Huge part of it. That's the thing. Like, when you – if you have that big of an impact on the greatest season in franchise history
– yeah.
At least it's worth bringing the name up,
sure.
I would say. But now, I would just say he just doesn't quite get there based on the totality of the career.
Well, and you're also talking he had 3 years with the Titans and 3 years in his entire career where he had double-digit sacks. So, and that's good. He's a good player. I don't know that he's Ring of Honor-worthy player. But that first year, no question about it, he was maybe – the biggest difference in how they went from 8-8 to 13-3. He was that good.
Right. And you talk about like league-wide like respect and attention. There was a lot of talk about him that year.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
because it was just who is this guy? I mean, everybody saw him at Florida, but he was unbelievable.
Got another question about Kyle VandenBosch. Like, I would put him in the same category as Javon Curse. He was really good. He wasn't here long enough, right? I mean, Kyle VandenBosch spent 5 years with the Titans, and he had 2 years where he had 12 sacks at least. The other years he had 6.5, 4.5, 3. I mean, that's just not Ring of Honor type consistency or numbers there.
He is good enough to be in the Lions Ring of Honor, though.
Yes.
I will say that.
Yes.
He's
is that
good.
An exclusive list? Who all's in that?
Actually, they have a lot of great players who just wish they didn't play for the Lions.
Samari Roll getting a vote? I don't know if he's quite Ring of Honor, but it's at least worth discussing. Smart Roll was really good for the
Very
Titans.
Good.
Really, really good player.
But for how many years?
That's a good question. How long was he with the Titans?
I mean, it's just so hard now to find. Like you said, you just don't have these super long careers. Now, if you have a great quarterback and you're just going to lock up that quarterback and quarterbacks can play a lot longer, that's the difference. Like Tannehill getting another deal right now?
Yeah.
Would not shock me. Henry, Lawan, Byard, that's a lot less likely.
7 years, by the way, for Samari Roll on the Titans.
Okay.
And then he went to Baltimore. By the way, Samari Roll, Derek Mason, Steve McNair, all going from the Titans to Baltimore. It's quite the transition.
It was. The hated Ravens.
Frank texting in, no to Chris Johnson. He held out for several games to get the $40 million and was never good after that. I don't think he actually ever missed any games holding out, did he? Like, I'm trying to think back.
I don't think that's accurate. Ryan Porthes.
Now, he did hold out. Now, I'm looking at his game total. There's no way he held out to miss any games because he played in all 16 games. And every year he was with the Titans except one, and that was his first year where he missed one game.
But he certainly, he went the wrong way after the deal, whether it had something to do with that or just getting older. But that 1 year,
it's pretty good.
I think like a year like the freak had and what it led to for the team means more.
I would agree.
You know?
Yeah. Although, Chris Johnson, you add up those total numbers. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
I may have to rethink my position on Chris Johnson. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Who belongs in the Titans' Ring of Honor? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game this Saturday from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Nashville SC pre-match party at the Hard Rock Cafe downtown. Party before the match on Broadway and get some game swag, plus register to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Then head on over to Nissan Stadium for the 7:30 match. Get your tickets now for Nashville SC at NashvilleSC.com and tune into the match on ESPN 94.9. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking Titans Ring of Honor. Who are some members from the past that you think should be in the Titans Ring of Honor? Now, remember the names included. Obviously, Bum Phillips, Jeff Fisher, Floyd Reese added yesterday. Bud Adams, Elvin Bethea, George Blanda, Robert Brazil, Earl Campbell, Eddie George, Mike Hollaback, Ken Houston, Bruce Matthews, Steve McNair, Warren Moon, Mike Munchak, Jim Norton, and Frank Wycheck all in the Titans Ring of Honor to this point. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a vote for John Runyon on the text line to enter into the Titans Ring of Honor.
On my personal text line, Dane from Nolensville, Michael Ruse.
Michael Ruse.
Brandon from Nolensville, Brett Kern.
Ooh. When Brett Kern's done playing, I'm not kidding you, I think he should be in there. He's so good at what he does, and he's been so good for a long time. I think Brett Kern belongs in there. You're looking at me right now like I'm crazy.
No, I'm not looking at you like, no, I'm not going that far. This is where sometimes I feel like I don't respect punters enough.
Have you seen how good he is?
No, I don't. He's great.
Well, then why can't he be in the Ring of
Honor?
I'm
not saying he can't be. Do you know off the top of your head, like Pro Bowl, stuff like that, numbers for him? No.
No, I can figure it out.
You can Google it. I could have just Googled it instead of making you Google it. I mean, like, I think you got to have a pretty – you got to be the best punter in the NFL.
Three-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro.
Okay. So that's the best punter in the NFL, period, 1 year.
Yeah.
One of the best 3 years. Give me a couple more Pro Bowls.
He can do it.
Yeah, he can. You get five Pro Bowls, I say. He's got to be in there. By the way, so Wycheck being in, is Wycheck a clear choice over like a Derek Mason, a Keith Bullock, a Blaine Bishop?
I wouldn't say clear. I think
that's deserving, but it just
sure.
I don't feel like there's much of a gap between like what he did for the Titans or the organization and what those guys did.
Well, I don't either.
Especially like Mason.
Well, I think you can make an argument that Mason did more. Now, Wycheck was here from, I believe he was 95 when he came in with the organization. Yeah, 95 with the Houston Oilers. Was here until 03 when he retired. I mean, the numbers themselves, I mean, they're not that great. Now, yeah, it's a different time. Yeah. It's a much different time at the tight end position.
Running offense.
You know, back in 97. 748 yards and 63 catches for a tight end. That was a lot. That was a lot for a tight end back in the day. So, yeah, I think he deserves to be in there. I absolutely think Derek Mason needs to be in there. I absolutely think Keith Bullock needs to be in there. And I'm surprised that they're not. Maybe one day they will be.
And Bishop.
Yeah. I think so. Let's go back to the text line. Kevin Mawai. I would say no. Kevin Mawai is a great player, Hall of Fame player. He was only here for like 3 years.
Right.
So I don't know if you can put him in the Titans Ring of Honor.
Again, you could go ahead and throw Randy Moss in there. I know it's not the exact same thing, but it was a short stay. What about Michael Russo?
I think he's close. I think an interesting discussion would be like if when's Taylor Lewan when his career finishes. Is it Michael Russo? Is it Taylor Lewan? Do both of them find a way in the Ring of Honor?
That Ring of Honor is getting – I mean, the fact that, like, Jeff Fisher and Floyd Rice
are just now in there.
Phillips are just getting in?
Yeah, I don't know what they've been doing. Like, what have you been waiting on?
I mean,
it took until 2 years ago for McNair and George to get in. Right?
No, that was the jersey.
That was a retirement. You're right.
Yeah.
But did they not do that the same day? I can't remember. I have to go back.
I'm not sure about that. I thought that was already – they were already in.
Okay. Maybe they were.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I have to go look it up.
I just remember that the field caught on fire that day. That's really all I remember.
there was that. But, I mean, Michael Roos, he was here from 05 to 14. So you're talking 10 seasons.
Yeah. Good
pretty
player.
Pretty good and a really good player.
Him at his best versus Lawan at his best. Who's better?
I would say Lawan.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, Roos was – he made the Pro Bowl one time. All pro one time.
But, again, it was as someone – was that Porth pointed out yesterday, right?
Yeah. You got
Ogden in there.
Ogden, yeah.
Sometimes you're just – sometimes you're the victim of circumstance.
Well, Lawan's already a three-time Pro Bowler. Also, what – okay, so do you get credit for being a Pro Bowler – like in the official stat, when you're like the seventh alternate and people have turned it down to go play? Like, do you still get credit for being a Pro Bowler?
Yes.
Okay. So what is a Pro Bowler?
Well, again, Lions quarterback Scott Mitchell, who actually like had a really good year that year. I mean, he was a Pro Bowler. Yeah. But people don't think of Scott Mitchell as a Pro Bowl quarterback, but he was.
I got a texture that says, any player on the field for the Music City Miracle belongs in the Ring of Honor.
There you go.
So all of them. Put Lorenzo Neal in there.
What about, well, I mean, because that brings to mind Mike Keith's call. What about him?
Yeah.
In the Ring of Honor.
I'd say so. I think that could happen one day. Ron texting in, Albert Haynesworth. He did get paid $100 million. I don't think Haynesworth is in there.
He was awfully good. Yeah. Awfully good for a brief period of time.
I have a text that says McNair and George were in the Ring of Honor before their jerseys retired.
Yeah,
so there
okay.
You go.
All right, I was right about something.
Clearing that.
it's good to be right.
I got a text that says Ray Childress needs to be in there from back in the day with the Oilers. I think that was during Bum Phillips' time.
Yeah, that's I was trying to think of like Oilers who have been dissed here. I guess all you think about is Earl Campbell, but Ray Childress, that's a good
11
call.
Years with the Oilers, 75 and a half sacks with the Oilers as well.
Did you see, by the way, that they've gone back – on sacks? Somebody did this.
No.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I think it might be Pro Football Reference went back and counted up sacks. Because, you know, sacks official stats started in 81 or 82.
Yeah.
So, I'll drop that list. But it's cool that they did that because there's a lot of – and, of course, Deacon Jones is one of the guys
sure.
who, you know.
Yeah.
I think he's like third all time now because of that. And he had no sacks to his name. Previously, but
got to vote for Sam Sloman on the text line.
I mean,
to be in the Ring of Honor.
I don't know
how you could argue against that.
Look at Porth is so excited in the booth.
A lot of kicker love right now. Al Del Greco getting some votes. Craig Hendrick and Gary Anderson getting some votes as well. People love their special teams players. You can hate on punters and kickers all you want, Rex Rhodes, but the people know what's up. They've spoken.
If they run a few more double reverses to Brett Kern.
He might need to be in just for surviving that hit from Devin White.
That's a good point. For still having all his internal organs right now, he should be in there.
Caleb on the text line says Lindale White and then has the laughing emoji behind it. I don't know if Lindale White's going to quite make it. Good college player, though.
Yep.
That 1 year of
smash and dash was amazing.
Yeah.
He would be in the TGI Fridays Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah. So would Vince Young. Ooh. Yeah.
Cheese sticks.
Yeah. All righty. Jeez, poor coming off the top rope. Had to grab the microphone for that one. That was something.
He had to go out of his way to make that point.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll get back into the NBA Finals from last night. Did we see perhaps the greatest defensive play of all time last night? And why did ESPN just totally ignore it? We'll get to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined by Adam Vingan from The Athletic to begin the next hour at 9 o'clock. Got a lot to get to with Adam Vingan. The expansion draft coming up, some news regarding Predators or former Predators captain Shea Weber yesterday that does not look good for the remainder of his career. We'll get to all that coming up with Adam Vingan and what that could mean for the Predators as they move forward as well. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ron texting in, "Come on, Joe, we've won for years behind our kickers' legs. Don't hate. That's one thing that we've had for years is kickers." Okay, Ron calling out your disrespect of the kickers and punters of the Titans organization.
Well, maybe there should be a separate Ring of Honor,
just for their own special Ring of Honor,
a foot of honor, you know. Someone can be the big toe.
Who would be the big toe?
Free pedicures for all.
Yes.
Know? Yeah. I mean, if you have that many good kickers, how many kickers do you want in your Ring of Honor?
They've had some good ones, man.
Right.
We've got a vote for Rob Baronis on here too.
Well, if you could combine all their achievements into one kicker, then I think that deserves a spot in the Ring of Honor. Unless you have like a Morton Anderson.
They did have a Gary Anderson.
But most of his career was not with this franchise.
And it's true. He made a big kick, though.
He did.
Won a playoff game for him. Chris on the text line sending us in a still shot of Brett Kern getting absolutely destroyed by Devin White on that double reverse play. So good to know that photo's still out there. Lives on.
Yeah, like as you pointed out to me during the break, the shot of Kern with his chin strap up his, you know, going down his throat and pure pain on his face. Just thanks, Braves.
I was gonna say, what do you think he was thinking about at that time? This was maybe not the best call.
It was there.
It was there. That's for sure. Joe, a very entertaining game last night in the NBA Finals. Milwaukee evens up the series at two games apiece. They win 109-103 against the Phoenix Suns. Another outstanding performance from Giannis in this series, and perhaps one of the great plays that we've seen in the history of the NBA Finals made last night as well. Devin Booker is cutting down the lane. He throws up a lob pass for DeAndre Ayton, who is 7 feet tall. Giannis goes from flat-footed in the lane, turns around, somehow finds where Ayton is, and meets him above the rim to block the shot. It was a great play, a great defensive play by Giannis on that sequence there. And then a minute goes by, a break goes by. They come back from break on the ESPN/ABC broadcast. There's no mention of it. There's no visual of it either, the replay of the block by Giannis. It took until the post-game interviews for us to see that block that Giannis made on DeAndre Ayton. You have called it maybe the best block of all time. Do you stand by that? Do you think it is the greatest block, maybe the greatest defensive play that we've seen in the history of the NBA, the history of the NBA Finals?
I think it's got a real strong – I think it's the greatest block I've ever seen. Now, have I seen maybe some – better block in some random game, maybe, but I don't even think so. I don't. But when you consider the stakes, I do think that we have to wait and see how it plays out. It'll be easier to make that case if the Bucks win the series, because the two previous blocks that come to
which they're going to, by the way.
Yeah,
Bucks are winning. Bucks in seven.
It's good.
Michelle shaking her head at me.
I'm not sure. No, Michelle, do you know by that? I'm not sure about this.
No. No, I think the Suns are taking the next two.
Oh, Suns at six.
Mm. Now, are you a Suns?
I'm a Kentucky basketball fan, so I'm Devin a Devin Booker, Booker fan.
Okay. Right. I gotcha. A Syracuse grad who's a Kentucky basketball fan.
She went to Kentucky as well.
That's right. So you went to, Kentucky undergrad?
Kentucky undergrad.
Yeah, okay. That's right. Yeah. That's right. My bad.
Totally
okay.
Acceptable.
So is there any Syracuse basketball loyalty? So.
Not at all.
Not at
BBN,
all.
BBN.
There
Joe.
You go.
Okay. All right, gotcha. BBN, that's right.
We have no time for Jim Boeheim here on this program.
I like how, by the way, Calipari was there last night, and it made me think of you talked about the loss to Wisconsin,
yeah,
2015, how Devin Booker just sat there and watched the Harrisons botch everything on the floor. So, sorry to bring that up, Michelle.
Nice stab to the heart there.
Appreciate I did not know we were heading into that territory. I don't know who's going to win the series, but if the Bucks win the series, I think you have a stronger case for this because the Tayshaun Prince block in 2004 conference finals, but led to a championship. Certainly, we know the LeBron block. I watched the LeBron block a few times last night. Great play, huge play. Andre Iguodala, for people who don't remember, it was 2016. It was Game 7. The Cavs won Game 7. But, man, the block itself, actually getting into the play was great. Like, the Tayshaun Prince block was way more difficult than the LeBron block. And I say last night's block was
Do we think that sometimes, though, we hold LeBron's athleticism against him, saying that was, that's easy. It was LeBron.
Well, I'm saying the play itself was a great play.
Sure.
But, I mean, like, the block itself was actually easy once he got there. And what Giannis did last night should not have been possible. Like, watch the slow-mo of it. Watch the various replays that ESPN did not give us during the game when we were watching the game.
No, they did not.
It's astounding. It's astounding. And, yes, by the way, that is...
How many tweets do you think you had about that last night?
I know. I went on a tweet storm. Normally would be in bed at that time. And I was losing... I'm like, am I the only one outraged by this?
You were not.
I mean, I didn't see enough outrage on Twitter. Usually I see too much, but I was like, I need more outrage here. Like, how do you not, the next coming back from, you go to commercial, and all you're talking about in the truck is, okay, that's an all-time play. We're going to show you every angle of it.
It's almost like
instead,
I don't think they saw what happened. Like, I don't think they know what they knew what happened.
Well, I mean,
and then I think somebody was looking around on social media and said, oh, gosh, I guess we missed a Giannis block, and that's why they finally brought it back up. But I don't think the truck knew what happened.
Well, Breen called. I mean,
I know.
He had the call, like, incredible block, right?
I know.
I mean, they reacted like you would react.
I know.
I mean, hey, you know what, guys?
That's the only thing I can come up with as to why they didn't show it.
Here's a bunch of replays of Chris Paul looking like a 7-year-old who can't dribble.
Tripping over his shoes.
That was just – that's one of the worst broadcasting fails I've seen in a long time. But they did post-game interview. They finally started showing us replays. I think it's – I've watched it another, like, 20 times today.
It's pretty awesome.
It's unbelievable.
Ben on the text line says, not enough buzz around this block, and Giannis isn't polarizing enough for it to stick, so I give it a 5% chance of making the top three blocks of all time. It's pretty great. Like, there were three other blocks that come to mind when I think about it. There was the LeBron play, which you mentioned, the Tayshaun Prince block on Reggie Miller, and what was that, 04? Which,
yeah.
Again, I brought this up earlier. I watched the replay of the Tayshaun Prince block last night. You talk about a different era of the NBA. The score, there was like 35 seconds left in the fourth quarter, and the score was 69-67.
First one to 70 wins.
First one to 70. You get out there.
Yeah.
A lot of these games are at 70 by halftime.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a different era.
It was gross.
In the NBA. And then the other one I thought of, maybe because I'm a gigantic Miami Heat homer, or also it was a really good block, is Bam Adebayo's block on Jason Tatum when Jason Tatum was about 2 feet above the rim and running at 3,000 miles an hour. And somehow Bam Adebayo got his left two fingers on the ball and kept it out of the rim.
No, that was an incredible block. I mean, and that's like the classic just confrontation block.
Yeah.
You know, here I am, I'm going to dunk on your head.
Right.
Honestly, like, if the Heat win it last year, I think you have a better case. I think
well,
that
they won
matter.
That series, but yes. They didn't win the finals. Yes,
right, right. I think you have, but you're right. I mean, it's just they're so different. You know, the plays are so different. I just think that we see confrontations go both ways, and that was an incredible one. But what Giannis did last night, you should not even try. You shouldn't try to do it because it's pointless. And yes, if Booker's pass is a little bit closer to the rim, I don't think it happens because it was a little bit off, but still. I mean, he went a couple feet above the rim near the top of the backboard to take that away.
Well, but like everybody, every superstar when they get there, like you want to have your finals moment, right? Like LeBron's had plenty of finals moments, Kevin Durant has had plenty. Kind of crazily enough, like Steph Curry, he's had some, but like he's not ever been a finals MVP. It's kind of weird that as great of a guy, as great of a player as he is, he's not really had that finals moment yet.
He's had huge games.
He's had huge games. But that kind of felt like last night, especially to your point. If the Bucks go on and win this series, that kind of felt like Giannis's moment last night was that block on Aiden. It'll get replayed over and over and over again if the Bucks win this series. And it should.
Yeah. So you got back-to-back 40-point games.
Yep.
And again, last night, not playing well in the first half, not making good decisions, jacking up threes. Please don't ever shoot another three. Please. Unless it's the end
of
the shot clock.
How is he that bad at shooting? Like, as great of a player as he is, to not be able to shoot a free throw and not be able to shoot a three-pointer, it's very interesting to me.
Well, I mean, he's passable from the line. He's not good. I mean, he was 13 for 17 the other day.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, he's not a shooter. He's not an outside shooter. Do what you're good at. When he does that, he really is he's an unbelievable player. He's the MVP of this series if they win.
He is. And now we'll see if the Suns can respond in Game 5. The home team has won every game in this series thus far. I've got Bucks in 7. Michelle's got Suns in 6. You have to make a prediction right now. Who wins this series? How many games?
I go Bucks in 7.
Yeah, come on. Bucks
Sorry.
In 7.
The crowd
last night was chanting Bucks in 6. So they're a little bit more confident.
How many teams in the NBA don't have a BBN member? Like, there's like 3? Are the Bucks one of 3? Like, seriously, there's a Kentucky guy on every team, right?
Yeah, we're just elite.
Jeff. Elite.
Yes.
Can't win any national titles in college, but they can send people in the NBA.
Oh, my goodness.
That's for sure.
Too far. Too far.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Adam Vingan from The Athletic. The expansion draft right around the corner for David Poile and the Nashville Predators. And some tough news yesterday on Shea Weber as well that could impact the Predators and their salary cap. We'll get to all that coming up next with Adam. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.